Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLR Radio. Tonight, my guest is Ambika Devi, and she has a new book coming out called Lift. And we're going to talk a lot about that, but she's also a yoga instructor, Reiki master, and many other things. But we're really going to talk about expanding your life with Ambika. And without any further ado, I want to welcome Ambika Devi to the show. Welcome, Ambika.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, we're going to jump right into this. We're going to start talking right about your book, Lift.
It's actually called Lilith.
Lilith,
L-I-L-I-T-H.
Lilith. I'm having a tough time with that name, and I apologize. But it's on her website, and I'm going to let you give your website so I don't mispronounce it.
Okay, it's my pleasure. You can find my book on my website by typing in www.lilithnovel.com. So that's www.lilithnovel.com.
And tell people a little bit about the book and how it comes to fruition for you and how you feel as it expands people's lives.
Well, the book actually began 13 years ago, and I was originally challenged to write a book that would not end up on the astrology shelf in a bookstore. I was in astrological college at the time, and my creative writing teacher challenged our class to come up with a concept where we would embed the ideas of astrology into a book, and it would be a completely different type of book, could have ended up anywhere else in the bookstore. I began at that time writing a book based on numerology, not too far off from astrology, but that's where I began. And it was worked on by me for 3 years. And then I started getting into the different chapters with different intensity and focus, and I sought out some writing support. There was a coaching group. I was living in Arizona at the time, and I had heard about a coaching group that would help new writers through their writing process. So I contacted them, but they were dissolving. It turned out the leader of the group, Nick Ligadakis, was very interested in my project, and he has the publishing company that is publishing my book. It's called Inkwell Productions. And we made a meeting and met, and he just thought my idea was great, and he really liked me, so I hired him to be my writing coach. And then, so I started writing as per his guidance and coaching, and my book at the time was divided into chapters based on numbers. In astrology, the numbers 1 through 12 are really important. I had a couple other numbers in there as well. But what happened was one day I had shown up for our meeting for my coaching session, and I had written an essay about the number 8, but it had taken a completely different direction than anything else I had been writing. It was fictional and mythic. And Nick thought it was amazing, and he said, stop writing everything else and only write this. And I even had titled it Lilith at the time. So the name of the book came about even before the book did, which is kind of interesting to me. So I started working on it. Many things happened over the years. This was 10 years ago. And so this book has been on and off my desk over a decade while I've been completing it. I look back at these 10 years and I realize I needed to go through life experiences and be able to draw from those to put them into the book. Primarily, because the book was already designed in the early stages to be based on a divine feminine character, I ended up years later getting my master's degree in yoga from the Hindu University of America. And for my thesis, I wrote about the relationship of the divine feminine and the divine masculine and the irresistible magnetic force that draws them together, causing them to unite. Well, this ended up in the pages of Lilith. So this is underneath the story. Still, the character, the way she began for me, ended up being herself. She is the divine feminine representative in the story. The lead male character is the divine masculine. However, there are other characters in the book that also represent aspects of the masculine. And then there is a third myth weaving through there, which is based on the Inca story of creation. So from the Inca of South America. And I went to South America, to Peru, after I graduated with my master's degree, and that was where the missing pieces of the story came from. So when I came back, I just went through the rest of the writing much more quickly once I had obtained that inspiration and learned the story firsthand by walking on the ground and learning from the Inca in Peru.
You know, there's several questions I got, but there's one. You got the number 8, but the number 8 in the affinity sign, the 8's really a stand-up infinity sign to me. Because in electricity, we use the number 8 a lot for lay it goes sideways and it's infinity. So the number 8 is just a stand-up infinity to me. But there was something you really said in there with the book Lilith, the 10 to 13 years it took you to write it. You know, in
it's
a journey,
interesting, isn't it?
Well, you know, and here's where it is, because I've been on this one for 15 years. I started in 97. And to me, it takes the 10th, 11th, 12th year where you start really understanding all the other journeys. And how did that kind of come forth in your book, Lilith?
Well, here's what's interesting. The original book that Lilith sprung out of was called 13. And the extra two numbers besides 1 through 12 were 0 and the number 13. So interesting to me that she was born out of the number 8. And what you say about the number 8 being infinity and having so much other symbolism besides just being the number 8. In astrology, the eighth house represents mystery. It's ruled by the planet Pluto. It has to do with generation, degeneration, and regeneration, which is very much what creation is all about. Creation is not just one thing that happens and it's done. It's a constant process. And so somehow I brought all of this into a story, which is actually a humorous look at what I believe is going on inside of the minds of men, and it's all rolled into a boy meets girl story. So the actual story of my book, Lilith, takes place over the course of one day of a meeting, a chance meeting between a guy and a girl, and they go on a walk, and they have extremely long conversations, and she does a lot of talking about her past, and they share stories from their lives, and so it's kind of like a lifetime taking place in a day. Another of the underlying points that I show in the story is my belief that there's really no such thing as time, that time is an illusion, and so I wanted the whole story to take place in the course of one day, but seem like lifetimes were happening in there.
You know, time is just a stress creator. but you said something there that it really resonated with me one day. Haven't we always just lived the continuous now? We're the ones, the human side or whatever side, puts the time on it, because everything happens in the present moment. So have we only lived one day with many lifetimes?
You're asking me the question, have we?
Have we lived many lifetimes?
You could look at it this way, Rob. Time is just a measurement system that we're agreeing to, right?
Yes. Yeah,
so,
very much so.
So by another being's perspective, what we call a lifetime could be a moment. And what we call a moment could be a lifetime for another creature. So it's really just a perspective view that the collective agrees upon.
And that's very true, because I write a lot about it. I've only lived a continuous now, because everything's right here and it's now, and everything happens in this moment, and it's only the moment you're living. And that's what I got from what you said there. And how do you feel about that?
Well, I understand the viewpoint that there's a continuous moment, but what if we look at it this way? What if every moment is next? And because you can't really freeze now. Every moment is next. As soon as you identify it, you're already moving on. One of my points about it, I guess, putting it in my story, one of my points is that every moment's precious. But there's so much more in the book. The book is indeed three stories twining together. There is the opportunity to look at dreams, because I illustrate dreams of the characters, and they're very vivid. So it's like you're stepping in and peeking at this person's dream in their sleep state. And there's also altered reality. We could call it parallel reality or an altered state. There are definite parallel existences, and then as the story goes on, they begin to intertwine, where everything becomes happening. Everything starts to happen all in the same moment.
And that's just so kind of the way we live. But I'm looking at the synopsis of Lilith right now on your website. There's one thing in here that I really want you to expound on. The original myth speaks of the boldness of the divine feminine can speak, and her ability to conform to the whims of a man. This inspired me to develop the main character of my book, Lilith, named Lilith. Tell people how that all come about, and it really is, you know, it's in a book of myths, but it's actually people's lives at the same time we live now.
Well, my story is definitely a novel, and people that have taken a look at it feel it's good summer reading. Not real heavy, although I did use a lot of more intensive concepts in it. So in order to understand it a little bit more, the myth of Lilith comes from the Sumerian culture. And the same name of the myth, the story, is based on a character named Lilith. Later, other groups had stories about this character, Lilith. They were transformed into a different myth and had her as Adam's first wife. But she didn't want to conform to the whims of Adam. So she was taken out of the garden, and she got to choose one thing to take with her. And she chose the tree of knowledge. And she was placed on an island in the middle of the sea, and she built a rocking chair out of the boughs of the giant tree of knowledge. And she made paper and wrote the book of wisdom, the book of knowledge. So she is the wise woman. And in our society, women are not understood in that way like they were in ancient and still are in indigenous cultures. So I'm bringing some of that into the story. My lead character is feisty and strong-willed, and she grew up having a lot of free rein and a lot of support to develop who she is. Does
and
that make
you know,
sense?
That's true. It totally makes sense to me, because to expand your life and to live in kind of a spiritual mysticism, because that's what life is. Life is a mystery, and we're afraid to experience it, to me. But anyway, there's something here in your on your website. It's under the part about the underlying concepts of the story. My book, Lilith, is based on three myths and inspired by fascination with mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the way life should be lived? Because life is such a mystery, and it's a mystery of life that will open you up to experience life your way. Wouldn't you feel?
It's definitely the way I live, Rob. And having the opportunity to complete a project like this, I've been able to place my thoughts in words, and now I get to share it with the world. It's super exciting because, yes, that's exactly how I've always lived and what I believe. I fully agree with you. Life is a mystery school.
It is, and it's full of questions to open up your paths of triumph, or however you want to say it. But when you can fantasize the wise, you can live your life in a more open way, wouldn't you feel? And that's kind of what I'm reading here in your book, and that's what I'm getting. It's really about fantasizing the wise to your own wise, the reader's wise to me. That's what I'm reading here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's full.
Right.
Going
to college, having gone to college and studying a very mystical form, yoga, to study yoga at the master's degree level is not necessarily what the greater population understands yoga to be. Yoga is a mystical science. And I wrote a thesis, but in talking with my publisher and also my professor, my advisor, I came to the realization how many people would really go to pick up my thesis. It's pretty heady and difficult to understand. So at that point, my publisher encouraged me to figure out a way to pull the philosophy from the studies that I've done and then embed it in a novel in which people will be able to bite it off, chew it up, and swallow it and digest it and get it. And so that's what I did. I created, there are a pair of guardian spirits that are nature spirits. Some people might call them angels. Some might call them spirit guides. I used their Sanskrit terms of Gandharva for the male character and Apsara for the female. That's what they are. They have names in the story. And they teach the lead character, Lilith, a lot of mysticism and a lot of yoga-type philosophy. And how many people are really getting that full education, even if they're going and taking yoga classes at yoga studios or even going even a little further in their studies and trying to read some of the translations of the ancient texts. But what I've done is created conversations between a spirit guide, a pair of spirit guides, and their ward, you know, the human that they take care of and watch out for. And they talk about stories that occurred throughout this character's life, and we get to learn the values and the lessons through their conversations. So I've been told by the people who have read it, because I've had test readers and now I have endorsers reading, that everybody's telling me they're learning something about life from the story. So that's great. That's all I ask for, is that this wisdom that I've been given by my masters and teachers, that I could portray and give to people in a way that they would be able to read it and understand it.
Yeah, and also you said something about yoga, and this is a question that I come up with, and I really was waiting to ask you this with yoga. You know, yoga is a lot of stretching, and it's just relaxation. I did Kundalini yoga. I've never studied yoga. But when you stretch the muscles and you get into and you do the exercises and you do the yoga, through the stretching and everything you do, does that actually stretch the cells to expand the imagination as you're going through it when you're done? To me, that's what fit me.
The asana, the postures that you're talking about, are only a small portion of yoga, of the teaching of yoga. There are physical teachings of yoga. The postures are part of it. They're part of what's called Ashtanga, which is an 8-level system. The beginning part of that teaches us the do's and don'ts, the golden rules, the integrities and edges of life. And then we are encouraged to learn about breathing and controlling the breath and finding an evenness in the breath, and then the postures. And then this takes us to a bridging point. And that bridge place is where we no longer are in a reactive state of mind, but we move into a witness state of mind. I'm not going to get into the Sanskrit terms on it. It doesn't matter. I'll explain it in English. I think it'll be easier for the listeners this evening. So we get into the witness state. That's where we find a focal point, and that's what takes us into a meditative state. From that meditative state, we start to get in touch with the sense that we are really part of a greater, a sense of oneness, a sense that we are not a single drop, but we are part of the great cosmic ocean. And then that's what takes us to realization. That all of those steps, all of those 8 steps are what yoga is. So just the asana, which we see in gyms and yoga studios, is not it. Now, the teachers are doing all they can to put some of this philosophy on people. Can you reach this state by just doing stretching? Yes, you can. But there are people who have reached an enlightened state by doing other mundane tasks. There is no right or wrong way to be on this path. But to understand what yoga is, we need to understand all 8 of those places along the way. They are called limbs, as if limbs on a tree, but you can also see them as rungs on a ladder that must be climbed.
And if the book is Lilith, and you can go to lilithnovel.com. It's lilithnovel.com, and get the book. And you said it's a novel, but how is novels? Actually, teachers, when people read them in that, because there's a lot of facts in novels and a lot of teaching, and there's a lot of wisdom in its own way. How does the wisdom of Lilith actually expand people into the mysticism and to fantasize their dreams?
Well, we watch some of the stories of the lead character and how she learns about life. And so we can learn by her example how she deals with a reactive time when something has caused her pain, and then how she worked with it through the teachings of her spirit guides and moved on from it, was able to withdraw from it and not be in reaction, and to be okay with who she is in that moment, how she is, and with the world, to be at peace with the world. And some of what she is put through are actual practices that I have been taught and been put through by my master teachers. So I am teaching through this character what I have learned, and she in turn is teaching, and then more people will learn.
And it's going to expand the world. I'm on LilithNovel.com, and I'm looking, and I want you to go there. If you ever go there, Ambika's picture is there. I want you to look in her eyes. They're clear, the smile is bright, and there is a brightness. So if she can take a picture with brightness, what's she going to do to your inner landscape? She's going to brighten it and make it bolder. And I want to read something that's right at the top. Lilith is a mystical trip through dreamscapes in the streets of South Philadelphia. We follow a feisty heroine as she engages in conversations with her guardian nature spirits, has flashbacks about her family and realizations about relationships and love. And, you know, with that, how is relationships and love probably the hardest and the most challenging things for people to do to you, Ambika?
Well, the other thing folks need to realize about me is I've been counseling people all my life. I started reading tarot cards when I was 7 years old, and I started giving advice when I was 9. So, of course, my lead character is a tarot card reader, and she learns about life through the cards. The cards play an interesting role, a minor role in the story, but there is some tarot wisdom in there. She has relationships. She talks about her past relationships. She meets a guy in a chance meeting and is interested. They're interested in each other, and they spend the day and eventually the evening together. So we get to watch that early stage of a relationship. And I know a lot of the listeners have had this experience where they meet somebody and the conversation just flows and you're just sharing your heart and so much about your life, and maybe the night turns into morning and that conversation is still going. I've had a few times in my life where I've been gifted that experience with a brand new person, and I think it's so magical. And so that is the thread of this story, this kind of delicious, endless conversation. And so
we're down to the, go ahead, finish.
No, it's okay, go ahead.
We're down to the last 90 minutes. I want you to give the people some wisdom, and then we're going to close the show out with Ambika's music.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say something about the music. The music that Rob is playing on the introduction and what he'll be playing on the outro is from my album Enchantment. And when you go to the Lilith page of my website, you'll be able to move around the website and find Enchantment there and find out more about the music, watch video, listen to more tracks. So about relationships. The most important thing for us to do is just surrender. When we try to manipulate or create something, we're only getting in our own divine way. And so read Lilith and watch how she learns how to get out of her own way. And then it's my prayer and my wish that you'll enjoy the reading, find it incredibly humorous, and it will leave you with tools and tricks to get out of your own way.
And I want to thank Amika for being here and her book, Lilith. And we're going to play her music, and we'll see you Thursday night. We'll close the show with this.
Thank you very much.
Thank Amika for being my guest, and I want to thank all the listeners. And it's Lilith at LilithNovel.com is the book, and you can pre-order it. Expand your life. Let Amika open your eyes to a new relationship with yourself and to the world. Thank you, Amika.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
And it has. And we'll see everybody Thursday night, and everybody have a good night.